Hey there, and welcome to the Confident Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Brooks. Join me as I sit down and chat with co-hosts, friends, and carefully curated guests and talk about all the things that empower you to become your best and most confident self. So let's get started. All right, ladies, welcome back to another episode. So today we have with us Jen Smith. Jen believes career success doesn't have to be at the expense of living a radiantly healthy and happy lifestyle. Before she became a career coach and HR consultant for heart-based professionals, her roots were deeply grounded in corporate America, including 15 years in HR departments at Fortune 200 organizations. Now, as a career coach and consultant, she has had the honor of supporting thousands of professionals around the world by assisting them with discovering and pursuing career intentions better aligned with their hearts and spirits while prioritizing well-being. And she believes we're all the better for it. So welcome, Jen.
Thank you, Rachel. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. And to note onto that bio as well, Jen is a fellow Buffalonian, which is kind of rare in the podcasting space. We're talking before we hit record about our passions and how much our paths have crossed. And it's such a small world when we think of how interconnected we are. So just want to throw that little bit of a tidbit in there, but I'm going to pass the mic to her to share a little bit more about herself and some of the story that led her into the works that she does today.
Yes. Thank you, Rachel. And I'll piggyback on that tidbit about the Buffalo connection, because before we were going to record together, I took a peek at Rachel's profile on LinkedIn and saw that we actually went to the same college and our years overlapped over a couple years, which was just a really fun connection. I'll tell you a little bit about my career story. I had no idea what I wanted to do. So I got a random degree in business and tried to figure it out from there. I was a frequent flyer in the career services department, very career minded, but just had no idea how to connect the dots. And so I'll never forget that there was this job posting for a team leader role, and it was with Frito-Lay, which is part of PepsiCo. And it had some leadership components. I was like, oh, you know what? I've been, you know, captain of my team, my sorority, all these things. I've had some leadership experiences. I think I could do this job. And so I applied for the job through the career services department, ended up getting a call for a phone screen. It was a very intimidating phone screen, but I passed that and then ended up on an on-site interview. This particular facility was in Binghamton, New York, which is about 3.5 hours from Buffalo. So I had to travel for the interview. There was like 15 of us from all over, recent graduates from all these schools. And we come together. They start at 8 o'clock with this presentation on results, results, results. You have to get results. And I was like, oh my gosh, what did I get myself into? Throughout the day, I kept noticing we'd come back to this hospitality room and there was less of us coming back. So by the end of the day, this interview process, there was 2 of us left. And I thought, oh my gosh, if I get this job after this intense interview process, I better just take it. And so what I didn't know was that the 2 roles that they had open, one of them was the overnight team leader, so the graveyard shift for the potato chip team, and the other one was weekend sanitation team leader. I feel like I got the luckier draw here because I got the overnight graveyard team leader role and my buddy got the weekend sanitation. So my first job out of college, not knowing what the heck I wanted to do, was working the graveyard shift as a supervisor in a potato chip factory. And I always thought, man, I really wish I had someone just to help me figure out what was next. I spent 4 years in operations and then made a big pivot into human resources, which is where I spent the rest of my career. I was actually told, no, we don't take people from operations into human resources. Ended up creating a plan and kind of moving myself into that function, which is where I spent 4 years, 8 years total at Frito-Lay and Pepsi, then moved into biotech for the remaining years of my career. And in that opportunity, it was very eye-opening to me around the lack of professional and career development in the corporate world as well. And so I remember doing this project where it was like this super check the box exercise, like, hey guys, we got to get our goals in the system. Let's create our goals, check the box and submit our form, you know, and make sure we hit the deadline. And there was never really this energy to it. It was always this check the box kind of mundane situation. And so at that point, I was like, hey, you know what? I really want to try to change the game for folks and make their careers a little bit more purposeful and a little bit more engaging and aligned to them versus just kind of taking whatever comes to you. So that led me to pursue career coaching. So I left the corporate world and experience behind in 2020 and became a career coach. And now I feel like I'm on this mission to help heart-based professionals navigate all of those changes a little earlier so it doesn't take them 15 years like it took me.
I love it. And I love the story behind that because it's like, how many of us have those kind of those stories? We've all started what we would say, you know, at the bottom of our career. We were just starting out. And when you're up against so much adversity and challenges and you're just coming out of college, you're young, you're looking to get into the career space and not realizing that after 15 years that all of those steps, all the hurdles, all those challenges, but yet the promotions and the successes that had ultimately led you to where you were, you said, I now need to go change this for those people who either just starting out or looking for transitions in their careers and how to create a better quality of life that is meaningful for them so that they can help shortcut what I had to experience and create the impact for themselves and find fulfillment within.
Yeah. And I feel like the perspective, both working in human resources, like on the inside of a company and knowing how people are hired and talent moves around an organization, like that perspective, plus the number of changes, I think that combination can really be helpful for folks that are interested in making a change, whether that's within an organization, in a different industry, different role, or even to create a lifestyle that you were saying on their own terms.
Right. Because I think it what we're ultimately after is this freedom to live and to work and feel like there's this harmony where we as the individuals also get to have pieces of us sprinkled in so that we feel like this is a part of who we are and not just this is what I do.
And I really believe that there are practical and tactical ways to figure that out. It's never going to be perfect, but at least you can live in a little more alignment with who you are as a human. And everyone's different. The versions of success that we see all over the place sometimes don't fit us and they might not be realistic for where we are in a certain season of our lives and our careers. How do we cultivate a path? And I call careers paths because that's what they are. There's not this end point or destination or ladder like we're kind of told to believe. It's really a path and it's a path of experiences based on the lifestyle that you want to live. And I think it's really important to define like those core and lifestyle values as your foundation and then reverse engineer your path based on what you want that lifestyle to look like. And that's really, I call it heart-based career planning because it's really about figuring out how you want to live and then reverse engineering your career into that. And the thing is with career, I mean, we spend, I think the stats are like 90,000 hours, a third of our lives working, and not to say that your purpose has to be in your career because it probably won't be. But if we're going to spend a third of our lives in our career, we better make them aligned. And if they're not, we're going to end up stressed and sick and all the things that you talk about.
Exactly. All the things that we're trying to avoid because we're trying to create a life that we absolutely love, that we can be healthy and present and feel like we're making that impact, right? So all of this in synergy, the heart-based is what you teach.
Yeah.
So kind of, what are some of the challenges that you find even through the works that you do that we can kind of talk about and unpack today to get that individual feeling like they're set up for success? I'd love you to walk us through some of the challenges that you hear from echoed not only from your own experiences, but from the clients that you help get them to those next levels.
Yeah, I love this question. Sometimes when we're in a path for 15 years or 10 years, it's really hard to even consider making a change because it's what we've always done or we're good at it, but it's not really fulfilling us or lighting us up. Or even maybe it's the opposite. Maybe it's completely draining our energy and we're burnt out or we're, you know, at a place where we're about to be sick or maybe we are sick. And so some of the challenges are around like that overwhelm of change. And so what I always, so a piece of heart-based career planning is breaking things down into tiny action. But in order to break them down into tiny actions, you have to stop and pause, which is so hard. We have to pause and take a breath and do some reflection to figure out what really would be meaningful or even just in alignment for who we are. And so there's a couple ways to do that. And I can share those if you think it would be helpful. So the way that I like to break this down, and when I meet with folks, this is kind of what I'm listening for. So it's your core and lifestyle values, like your core values of who you are as a human, what you stand for, what, you know, what your the meaning for you is of your work, and then your lifestyle, which we kind of talked about. So do you want to live a lifestyle of a digital nomad, or do you want to work from home? Do you want to be hybrid? Like, what is the lifestyle you're trying to build here? So that's the foundation. And then I like to break it down. I call it impact and energy, the industry and the role that you do, and making sure those are in alignment with you. So when I think about folks making a change, we take a look at industry. What kind of industry are you interested in, or what kind of industry do you want to make an impact in? This does not have to be anything altruistic. It could just be something fun for you. That's going to help you in terms of alignment, because you're waking up every day and you're contributing to something that you're actually interested in, which goes a long way. So a simple change, just an industry change, can make a big difference for folks. And then energy equals role. So what is the job that you're doing, and is it generating your energy, or is it completely draining your energy? And I like to talk with folks about their, I call them like superpowers, but it's really your signature strengths. It's what you're good at and what you like doing. Because a lot of times we're good at things and we just keep doing them because we're good at them, but we don't like them. So it's really, what are you good at and what do you like doing? And let's figure out what that is and how that equates to potentially a new role. So those are the four pillars that I look for and help folks pause and reflect to define that, and then go and find the organizations that are actually going to be a fit for you. So hopefully that makes sense.
It does. And I'm jotting down a couple notes here, but a couple of things that you had said that I want to circle back on about depleting the energy, or is it energizing? Is it filling the energy, right?
Yep.
So as we're going through our careers, a lot of times we just get into that place of complacency, where if we use that example, we've been at a career for 15 years. There's a big risk to jump ship or careers entirely. So we could be at a pivot place in our life where you say, well, does this suck worse over there? Or do I just suck it up and endure what I'm miserable, or it's sucking the energy, it's draining me? So I think that we can look at it from both perspectives as well, because I personally have gone through that experience. And I remember thinking the outweighing of where I'm at today in a position when I really left the longest career prior to where I'm at today, I had almost this allegiance that I felt this loyalty to that company because I had worked with them for so long and I'd gone up the ladder and I had gone promotion after promotion. And so much of my identity was tied to the achievements. But I realized at that point, the last few years that I was with the company, I felt like pieces of me were falling apart. I didn't really know who I was, but I just knew that there was this internal instinct that said, if you keep going at this, you're going to be miserable, burned out, and in a place that isn't who and what you're working for to be. So on the contrary, was a hold on the vast unknown, the uncertainty. I didn't know what was on the other side because I never considered it in the up leveling of my career. So there's a lot of risk, a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty, self-doubt, insecurities. Every alarm and bell and whistle that could be internal was blaring. But here I am sitting at this crossroads thinking, I don't know which one is worse.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So long story short, obviously I took the ladder. I'm not there anymore. I want to talk about that because These are sometimes those topics that will just hold us stuck because both of them feel like pain. Mm-hmm. So how do we know when our opportune time is to jump ship or change career or get a new promotion or whatever? What is that next level?
So I love this and I love the story, and I could totally relate when you're telling the story about the loyalty. And I remember thinking when I worked for Frito-Lay for those first 8 years, I did not think there was any other company in the world that would ever hire me. They gave me so much and I was so grateful for that. But I also knew that there was more, and I totally get that. And so what I always talk with folks is when there's so much unknown, yet we know that where we are is not feeling good, whatever that is, you know, if that's in your body, it's in your mind, it's your heart, your energy, whatever that is, it doesn't feel good. It's worth it for you to prioritize yourself and gather a little bit of information. There's so much fear. There's so much unknown. And usually the fear comes from the unknown. So let's take some tiny actions to gather information to help us know whether or not this next step is going to be more on our path or more in alignment to who we are. And so maybe that information is pausing and just thinking about, you know, what kind of industry would I want to contribute to? Or maybe spending 5 minutes and do an energy audit and look back at the last 6 months and at your calendar and see what are the things that really energized me? And maybe I can do more of those. So just taking tiny actions to gather a tiny bit of information to help you move towards that next best role. Again, it's never going to be for, you know, your next role is never going to be forever. Usually there's going to be lots of twists and turns. And how can you gather that information to make the, I guess, the most informed decision for you at this time of career? And again, it might be the season of career you're in. So things change. I was just talking to a beloved who recently had a baby and she's now a mom. And so her career is shifting. It's changing. I'll give you another quick example here too of somebody that was so afraid to make a change. This beloved was working for the tobacco industry and obviously an industry that does not do a whole lot of good for our world. And they had a parent who died of lung cancer. So every single day they're getting up and dragging themselves to work in an industry that's completely draining their energy. It's nothing they want to contribute to. And so we made a tiny tweak and they support a totally different industry, but doing the same role, but just a different industry. And life is completely different for them. That did not happen overnight. This was like gathering tiny pieces of information to see what could be fun and interesting for this next phase of career.
Thank you for addressing that. And, you know, to kind of pull back to my initial question, you don't necessarily have to jump ship. You can also keep the same role and responsibilities and things that you have grown into loving about the profession and find a lateral company that will take you on that best supports your values, your beliefs, and your integrity, and knowing that you're making a contribution. Because I think for a lot of us, you know, when we look at careers, it's not just about the financial aspects of it, right? You know, you could pay me a gazillion infinity dollars, but if it's towards a cause that does not align with my heart, my values, my beliefs, no amount of money can satisfy that internal nudge for something more. And we look at that from that contribution aspect. Are we making an impact? Because our work, we're contributing to the greater cause. What cause are you contributing towards in your life? That's for our listeners to consider, because it's not just about the business, but it's our personal goals, our personal identity.
Yes.
And something to really consider, that's could really be the final nudge that you might need to make that next best step for you and your family and your careers.
Yeah. And I love that you mentioned it doesn't have to be like this big, gigantic thing. That's why I like to break it down. Like, is it the company that's not a fit for you? Maybe you just need to find a different company that's more aligned to your values. Is it a tweak in your lifestyle that maybe your company would adjust and allow you, you know, to work from home 2 days a week or whatever it is? Is it, you know, you could change roles within an organization. So I remember this other quick example, this beloved, she was like, Jen, I just hate the spreadsheets. I can't work in these. She was like this data analyst and she was working in the spreadsheets and she was so outgoing and gregarious. And she was just like literally so stifled just working on spreadsheets by herself and her, you know, in her office all day long. All she wanted, and she was actually under the HR umbrella as like a people data analyst and analyst person. And so I said, well, why don't you talk to folks like what, you know, what else could you do within that HR department that gets you out from behind the spreadsheets? And she's like, well, we talked about some of the volunteer work she does, and she's a huge event planner within her community. And so I'm like, well, in HR, there is usually a team that works on employee engagement, and sometimes there's events that happen. And so she ended up making a shift within the same company under the same umbrella, but just into a role on the employee engagement committee or team that was a much better fit for her, where she got to collaborate all day. And she was using her event planning to plan these lunch and learns for the employees. And that was much more suited for her versus losing her mind working in those spreadsheets. So it doesn't have to be this huge, big thing. You can break it down into those smaller pieces when you think of energy, impact, and values.
Yes, great examples. And when we talk about energy, impact, and values, how would you rank? Now, I think I know the answer to this. And of course, those listening to the podcast know that I'm a huge advocate for health and well-being. So how does prioritizing your well-being affect that career, feeling that you've made the right decision for yourself and aligning who you are with that integral purpose?
Yes. And this is such a big piece of the work that I do as well. Just a quick personal story. I remember being in a role that was completely not a fit for me. And I was so stressed out. I'll never forget this. I was working from home. So in this space here, I hadn't yet turned on my computer for work, and I literally could not catch my breath. Like, my breath was like way up here in my throat. I couldn't breathe. Like, I could not catch my breath because I was so stressed about what was going to happen when I opened my email and like all the chaos that was going to happen all day, that I like couldn't get myself to do it. And it was so stressful. It was literally causing so much pain in my body to the point that I could not breathe. I remember going to acupuncture, and the guy's like, the acupuncturist is like, "What are you doing to yourself?" I'm like, "I know, I can't do this anymore. It's not the right thing for me." Ended up having to talk to my boss and say, "Hey, like, we got to make a change here," which we did. But I share that story is because if you don't take care of yourself and in your career and find that alignment, you can cause a lot of stress and sickness on your body, which is what we want to avoid. And that's not good for anybody. And so when you prioritize your core and lifestyle values as that foundation and really understand what you are looking for in your life and your career and use that as the foundation of your decision. And I do this a lot with folks that will work and literally write out their core and lifestyle values. And then they'll come to me and say, "Hey, Jen, I'm making a career decision like this versus this." And I'll say, "Hey, let's go back to those core and lifestyle values and rate your decision on a scale of 1 to 5 for each of your core and lifestyle values. And that's going to give you the answer." And so I think that prioritizing those core and lifestyle values will help you be your best and prioritize your well-being and your career satisfaction. And then just to continue on the prioritization, because this is actually a question I get a lot with folks. So starting with those core and lifestyle values, and then think about industry, because it's a big umbrella. And so you can think about, okay, like what industries would be interesting, and then companies under that industry umbrella that are a match for your core and lifestyle values. So that's usually how we break it down, because you could work for a great company, but maybe one of their core values is intensity and you value harmony and calm and quiet. It's going to be like this every single day. So you really want to make sure you know who you are and what you're looking for, and then going out and finding it under that industry umbrella, companies, and then obviously the roles, and making sure the role is something that's aligned with your energy.
It does. And I love that you brought in that personal story, because I think for many of us, we live in, you know, intense, chaotic workplaces. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot on our plate. And not even that, because, you know, as we're ambitious, go-getting individuals, sometimes we don't know when to say no, right? How we bring in our boundaries, setting ourselves as that priority, and realizing, yes, this is work, but it's not life. And I think we're ultimately after that quote unquote work-life balance, but I kind of throw that under the same metaphors, chasing perfection. It doesn't exist, you know, but we're striving for it. And what work-life balance looks like for me is not going to be the same for Jen and the next person and the next person. So understanding your own version, what that core lifestyle is that Jen's talking about, and prioritizing your mental, your emotional, your spiritual, and your physical health and well-being. And those are pulling from those four pillars that I've really impressed upon and built my foundation, because at the end of it, it's not just about the career, the position, the money, or the impact. Well, how do I feel mentally when I'm at work? Does this cause anxiety? Is it causing me to feel like I'm spiraling out of control? Does my soul tell me, like, this is not who we are? And then physically, like, as you share, manifest in your body, your body starts to give those blaring alarms and you're wondering what's going on. So you're going to a doctor, you're going this, but you really haven't turned inward to ask yourself, "Hey, what's up with us? Why are we acting this way? Why are we responding this way? Why does my body feel this way?" Well, we get to know who we are, the core identity. Those alarms are there just to exactly that, to alarm us that something is misaligned.
Yes.
Prioritizing our health and well-being should be the number one priority in our lives.
Yeah.
Not just in relationships, in our lives. I'm going to prioritize that. Like, I can't emphasize this. You are one person. And if you're breaking and barely holding together at the seams, you are no good as an employee or employer. You're no good as a partner, wife, spouse, friend, aunt, mom, whatever role. We have to prioritize that. I'd love for you to share a little bit more about what prioritization looks like in the workplace, especially when it comes to boundaries.
Okay, well, this makes me think of another beloved situation where I was working with somebody and she was giving everything to her work. And I've been there too. That's why I couldn't breathe in that one role. Like, I've been there. I get it. She's waking up in the middle of the night because she's hearing her phone ding with emails coming in. She's responding in the middle of the night. She's completely overcommitting. She literally is letting this company like walk all over her. And she got super sick and wondered why. And I really just held the mirror up and I said, look at what's happening. You know, look at what's happening here. And I said, this organization is just not respecting you at all as an employee. Nothing, unless you're conducting brain surgery or some type of surgery to save a human, nothing needs to be responded to in the middle of the night. And that's very far from what she was doing. Once she got sick, that's really where she was like, okay, I can't, like, if I keep doing this, it's just going to keep spiraling like this. So we just took a pause and I said, hey, what would the perfect day look like for you? And sometimes people have a hard time with that, but it's really helpful just to think like, okay, what is the ideal time I'd want to wake up? What do I want my morning to look like? What do I want to be eating? You know, what does movement look like for me? Prioritizing the mental, emotional, physical, spiritual elements of us in a perfect day world. And then taking that and saying, okay, in order to get this, what are some tweaks that you can make? What are some boundaries that you can put in place today or going forward? And it doesn't have to be anything major. You can just have one conversation with your boss. And guess what? I am certain that they're going to be okay with you not responding to emails in the middle of the night. And if they aren't, then you need to find a new organization because that's just not worth it. So, you know, so we did that. We did the perfect day exercise and she thought of a few boundaries that would really be helpful for her. And one of those things was spending 20 minutes exercising in the morning. And the other one was getting outside with her niece to go for a walk after work or whatever it was, you know, like two or three times a week because they had recently moved down the street or nearby in her neighborhood. So a couple of those things and putting those ideas into place really helped just kind of take those tiny actions and start shifting her mindset to prioritize herself and her well-being before her job. And she's still there. She's working on making a change, but some of those boundaries really did help. Hopefully that paints a picture.
Great example. Yes, definitely helps paint the picture. What if there's some intimidation or some fear factor in piping up and actually vocalizing your own needs and wants?
Yeah. Well, it does take courage. It does take courage to do that. I've been in a manager position. I've been in a human resources position. And I know if any of my team members ever came to me and said, hey, I'm not feeling good. Like I'm super stressed out to the point where I can't breathe before work or I'm not getting any sleep and to the point that I'm sick and I'm going to be out for a month because I can't be here, you know, so to me, any heart-based leader would be open to having that conversation. And if not your direct manager, certainly somebody in human resources. And there are laws out there where you can take leave if you need to and do what you need to do to take care of yourself as well. Not that you want to go down that route. I actually took a wellness leave from work at one point because I couldn't breathe and I needed to regroup. There are organizations that allow for sabbaticals. There are some companies, I remember for one woman, we allowed her to pull forward her vacation so she could catch her breath for a few weeks. So I think that there are things that organizations would be willing to work with you for or on. And if not, then guess what? That's a huge red flag. And it is time to find an organization that will, because there are plenty of them out there that will support you.
Yes, great advice. And for those that are just wondering, like, how do I know it's time? You'll know. And, you know, when you get to that point of just fatigue all over and you're afraid that if I do say something, it could cost me my job. That is where right there is the turning point, because you're like, okay, well, I could win either way. You got to look at that as a winning situation. But having that courage to really be your own self-advocate is huge, because, you know, sometimes that's that fear. We have to use our power and our voice. And knowing who you are and what you stand for, your values, your beliefs, your identity, the integral facets of who you are will also allow you to step fully into that more confident version of you. And, you know, the confidence comes through, it's like a muscle. It comes through practice. It comes through repetition. And being your advocate in the workplace is just the same as outside the workplace, into those relationships, into those boundaries. And that's why we really talked about prioritizing you, prioritizing the boundaries, setting those firm, you know, negotiables and non-negotiables, especially when it comes to responding to emails in the middle of the night or the needs and pulls of that. How it's greatly impacting you has to be vocalized for you to set, this is the bar, this is the expectation, and this is where the line gets drawn. Because when we don't have that clear boundary, we will continue to be pulling because we're thinking we're in demand or it's needed, but your needs are just as important as the companies or the teams or the organizations. We have to learn to really separate ourselves from the work that we do. And I think that that actually might be what we're ultimately after. Instead of the work-life balance, we're actually looking to separate ourselves from our work. And when we can peel that layer back, we step fully into a better version of ourselves because we have set that line.
Yeah. So you're taking your identity away from it, which is hard. It's hard for a lot of folks. I mean, you and I have both been there, you know, and it doesn't have to be that way. I always say, like, your life purpose probably isn't going to be in your work, although when it, and it certainly shouldn't ruin your life. But when you're in alignment, it spills out into so many other aspects of our lives when we're working for 90,000 hours or a third of our life. And so when we can make it a little more in alignment, it's going to make everything else that much better. The work-life balancing, I just have to mention, there's a woman that I like to follow. Her name's Christina Rylo, and she wrote a book called Overwhelmed and Over It. And she talks about when you think of balance, think of somebody on a balance beam. Like, they're literally like teetering through all the things. And so, like, when you say work-life balance, it's like, oh my gosh, why do I need to be on a balance beam my whole life? And she talks about work-life harmony. It's more of like this harmonious circle, and we're one being and we have our jobs and they're part of our lives and we make them in alignment as best as we can in order for our relationships and everything else outside of work to be in harmony as well.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. And that's what I think when people are talking about when they mean work-life balance, it is that harmony. But what is harmony? And harmony starts internally. Yeah, so yeah. Again, going back to that whole circle of the four pillars in the foundation of health and well-being. Again, mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical health and well-being. So that becomes the harmony that's intuitively inside of you that transpires into the work that we do. Yeah. So I love all the tips and just the examples. And oh my goodness, this has been an incredible conversation. So I'm curious for you to share how people find out more about you, follow along with you, learn more about the works you do, and more importantly, connect, especially after this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Rachel. This has been such a fun conversation. It's always fun when you have the same philosophies around work and life. So my business is called Flourish Careers. So it's flourish.careers is my website. And then I usually hang out on Instagram at flourish.careers. And I'm also on LinkedIn, which is a little tricky to find because Jen Smith is a very common name. So maybe we can throw the link in the show notes if that's helpful. I do have a podcast called the Flourish Careers Podcast where I talk about this topic every week on Wednesday, a new episode comes out.
Awesome. So be sure to give Jen a follow. And again, if this episode resonates with you, reach out. She would love to hear from you. And just knowing that the work that we as creators put out into the content, we want to know that it's being received. And it just warms our heart when we receive a message that says, hey, that episode spoke to me. So
I love that.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Jen. Thank you for being our guest and just pouring in all kinds of information and strategies and tips that can help us create that work-life harmony that we so desire.
Thanks for having me.
Hey there. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Confident Woman Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, please be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thanks again for listening.